Welcome back to RPE. Today we're going to talk about bulking and cutting with Dan and Ben. Ben's been a personal trainer for quite some time. He's been training at a few gyms in Michigan, although during this pandemic hasn't been able to train as much. Dan actually got his personal training education overseas in Ireland and is currently at a university studying kinesiology. So listen to this conversation on bulking and cutting. We kind of talk about the diet, the mindset, the exercise that goes behind all of the planning and programming of bulking and cutting. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Well, I know our background for a lot of us is bodybuilding. So that's why I wanted to talk to you guys about bulking and cutting. I'm going to give a quick definition of both just so like when you're going off on like discussion that we don't go off into an area that might not be like set in stone. So I'm just going to say bulking, we're talking about physique. So a lot of this is due to bodybuilding, whereas someone might hear cutting and say, oh, so higher cardiovascular endurance. No. We're talking about physique. We're talking about bodybuilding. So a lot of it, you know, is going to be diet, exercise, and mindset. And those are the three kind of areas that I want you guys to kind of just talk through with me. So bulking, we're eating more, we're getting bigger, we're getting stronger in preparation to go into a cut. Cutting, you're eating less, you are getting more vascular, getting more shredded, but your muscle bellies have, you know, increased in size because of your bulking. So now you're bigger than you were before when you were really lean, and your training is different in all of those, but the focus I really want to hone in is on bodybuilding. So to start it off, what is I am drawing all over this. Let's just go to the next one. What is bulking, and how do you get there? If you guys want to jump in and just tackle this, because I know, Dan, you have a great experience firsthand because you did it in a much more professional setting. But Ben, you also have a really good experience with your cutting for the online competition that you did. And I have bulked one time in my life and I didn't do it right. I did the seafood diet, see it, eat it. I just looked gross. I felt gross. A lot more acne, like especially on the body, just like didn't feel good. But it was the first time that I like was eating in a caloric surplus daily. And I put on some pounds, but so that's kind of my experience. And I've never done a specific cut. When I was doing wrestling, that was not cutting. That was dropping weight. So like different because I wasn't doing it for physique. So anyway, jump in. Like just what do you think? Again, I hone in on diet, the gym. So whatever that looks like, sets, reps, weights, cardio, and then mindset.
Yeah, so I've done two bulks. One not super successful, one extremely successful. So obviously I'm just going to talk about the really successful one. It was last summer. It was probably about 5 months of a calorie surplus. And,
hold up. Is this when you did the functional strength program?
The program that you made?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if that was the one.
Yep.
Sweet. Thank you.
So last summer, I came into the summer after my freshman year of college, and I was like 155, super, like the smallest I'd literally been since I was like 15. And so I was like, well, shoot, I have all summer to get back to where I was, and let's try it. So I got this program from Dustin. That was literally the biggest part of the successful bulk. So through the course of the bulk, I put on 30 pounds. So I started 155, and literally by the end of the bulk, I was 185. And it was like 4 months. So how did I get there? Eating, obviously, consistently. But the choice of foods, it wasn't like the seafood. It was more like literally just as dense and rich foods as I could. Like just when my mom would make like a meal, you know, every night, I would just like pound it. And I wasn't just like pounding pizza and burgers and stuff. It was like solid stuff. And something that Dustin encouraged me with at the beginning of the program was just to see, like, you know, this is kind of bro science in a way, like it's not really proven, but like just eat as much protein as you can. Like literally try to get like 200 grams a day. I was like, okay, fine. So, I mean, I literally was eating like 180, 190, 200 grams of protein a day, and then doing his functional strength program, which really focuses on the compounds. So like my bench started a 5x5, started at like 195 and ended at 245. And then nice. The squat, was it a 5x5?
Yep.
About 5x5. So the biggest thing for a successful bulk is food choice. And what I've experienced, literally, like, get a program. Don't just go and like do a bro lift, because I've had most of my lifting has just been like, okay, I go and I do it, I hit what I want and I leave. Like, but doing a specific program where you're progressively overloading every single week, like consistently, it's going to take your size to the next level.
So I hear you say consistent, like in eating and eating clean and eating a lot more. So sometimes I've heard people just take whatever they're eating during their cutting. So let's just say chicken, rice, and broccoli, standard like bodybuilding meal, and they just eat double or triple of that, but they eat the same density, packed, nutrient rich foods. So that way they're not putting on just more empty calories like chips or stuff like that. So is that something that you guys would probably agree with?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when you hear bulking, maybe especially as like an early lifter, it's like the type of food changes in your mind. It's like, I'm trying to cut and get lean, so I got to eat really clean. I'm trying to bulk, I just got to eat everything. I got to get, I got to put on size. I got to get all these calories. But really, if you can, it's all about, and your health's important too. You know, don't forget, it's not just about, you can be ripped looking and be extremely unhealthy and drop over dead. You want to have a healthy lifestyle. You want to actually be, you want to be in a place where you're physically peaking out. And so that's going to happen through eating those nutrient-rich foods, just eating more of them. You're now in a surplus rather than, you know, you got your maintenance, you got a deficit and a surplus. And, but it's the same types of foods. It's healthy food. And I fall into that trap too, you know, because one of the easiest ways to see some weight just quickly drop, you start eating clean, you clean your diet up. But
true,
a bulk should work the same way. I should still be eating clean. I'm just eating more of those types of food, like Dan was saying. Something I think of with bulking, there's a couple of things that come into mind. And this goes along with the lifting as well, the lifting side and the diet side.
Okay.
The most, just will tell you the best way you can do it, the most efficient, proficient, whatever you want to call it, the best way is going to be, yes, have a program that you stick to and you're pushing yourself and having a clean diet with a surplus, small surplus, over a consistent period of time. Dan said 5 months. You know, this wasn't a super fast, you know, it's a 5 month long process of doing this consistently. That's going to be the most efficient way. Unfortunately, for a lot of bodybuilders, what they don't realize, what I didn't realize, is we're lazy. We think we're not lazy because we work hard, we put up heavy weight, we're in the gym busting our butts sweating. But guess what exercises we do? All the ones we like. We gravitate to all the ones we like. We go in there. We do the same thing every time. That doesn't help you. If you run a mile every day that's all you ever do, sure, you're going to be great at that 1 mile, but you're not actually getting any better results. You need to push yourself. You need to increase. And so we're really lazy, and that transfers into your diet. It transfers into your lifting and your overall life. And so really the biggest thing is don't be lazy. Get on a program, take it serious, and then with the diet, get on a serious diet that, you know, you're not just eating whatever you want and being a glutton basically, and then having the excuse of, well, I'm bulking. So I think that's a huge part of it, is recognize where you tend to actually be lazy, and then just because you're working out and you're sweating doesn't mean you're not falling into that trap.
And something that proves exactly what you're saying is, I mean, look at like a lineman or like a football player. Like, they're eating insane amounts, like literally 6,000 calories a day, and they're lifting so heavy, just exactly what we're doing. But they're also doing serious amounts of cardio and pushing themselves cardiovascularly, yeah, and doing things that aren't easy for their bodies because they're so big, but they still do it. And then you see these guys and they're massive and they're ripped and they're shredded.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, you're like, well, they're eating a lot and lifting a lot. Like, why aren't they just like all puffy like most gym bros? Because they're not lazy.
Yeah.
And Dan, you can probably attest to looking the same as you look right now, but the difference of being like completely out of shape, actually, nobody would know the difference, but actually being completely out of shape and unhealthy even, versus, you know, the difference of right now, you know, you're probably in the best shape of your life.
Exactly. Absolutely. And not to like discourage people from bulking, but like being in good cardio shape, looking back at where I was a year ago when I was like 185 pounds, I'm 5'8", like that's really heavy. Like, I'm like, I see exactly what you're saying. I'm like, dude, I was doing what was comfortable. Like, I thought, you know, I looked good, I was big, but it really was lazy. Like, I wasn't pushing myself in areas that were going to make me better as a performer or as just a person in general.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think that's probably the biggest thing with your mindset on bulking. Gravitate towards the heavy, easy lifts. So I'll add on that. Program-wise, we're looking at heavy weight. So typically when I program, I typically don't put people on like anything but 3x6s, 4x6s, and 5x5s. Obviously we'll test for like 1 rep maxes and stuff like that. We'll go up to like a maximum, but as far as the program, that's what they typically look like. They're a lot heavier. Your rest times are a lot longer. So we're looking at rest times from 2 minutes being like the minimum up to 5 minutes, because what you're using during a lot of those heavy lifts is your creatine phosphagen system, which I haven't put out a podcast on that, but that's basically the first energy system that you have. And it works for like up to 3 to 10 seconds, depending if you're efficient, or 5. So they typically say 3 to 5 seconds. So if you're doing a few repetitions, you're only using creatine phosphagen system. So a little plug for creatine here. This is why a lot of guys, when they're bulking, start creatine, because it helps with that energy creatine phosphagen system. So they can just put out more repetition. The idea used to be, oh, you can get another rep at the end of your set because you're more efficient in your creatine phosphagen system. But since that system is only going to be, let's say, like 5 seconds, and you're doing a 5x5, you're probably going to be doing longer than 5 seconds if you're on the bench, unless you're just repping that out. So supplementation, diet, that kind of thing, you're eating a lot more, a lot of protein. And I'm glad your example, Dan, is like huge, because Aaron, who's been on the podcast as well, he ate up to 200 grams of protein in a summer, came back, and he looked like just an animal because he was working out consistently, but he was just increased his protein So much so that his mother told him, you're going to have to start buying your own chicken because this is too expensive for the family. So he literally would buy his own chicken to hit his protein. And he came back and he was like, the muscle bellies were just huge. And he didn't look like he went through a bulking phase, because typically we associate fat with like the bulking phase. But he came back and he looked really large. So caloric surplus is a huge part of bulking, which is why, real quick, for me, I hate it, because I hate eating. I'm almost always, I feel like I'm almost always at maintenance. Maybe I'm typically at a deficit just because I just don't like eating a lot of a big portion all the time. It's probably the laziness.
It's hard for me as well when I'm actually working hard and burning a lot of calories. I struggle to eat enough and the right foods. You know, I can do it. I can get in a surplus.
Yes, but sir.
That's not as easily, you know, it's when you're eating healthy and you're trying to be in a surplus and you're burning a lot of calories, you have to eat a lot. That's why you hear about these dudes eating six meals a day and you think like that's a joke, but it's not, because they're so small amount of calories in these nutrient rich foods, but that's what you need. You need those nutrient rich foods. But if you're going to put on size, you got to be in a surplus, and that's hard to do when you're burning a lot of calories each day. But
yes, it is.
You're going to quickly put on size if you can actually do it. But again, as like you said, the lazy thing, it's hard. It's not easy.
That's huge. And I think you said to get into that surplus, you can just eat crap. You did. You looked like a marshmallow of a man when you hit that first bulking stage way back when. We all remember it, Ben. How did that feel?
Like what it looked like? So when I look back at that photo, it's like, I can't believe that's me. It's so basically, just to quickly touch on what Dustin's talking about, I pretty much did, it was my first bulk, and I was like, I'm just going hard. I'm going to get huge, eat everything as much as I can. Because again, like I said at the beginning, I was the skinny person who couldn't put on any weight, right? And especially because I'm playing sports and working out, I'm burning a lot of calories. So I would have had to eat a lot. So I started eating a lot. But I was eating McDonald's and, you know, whatever, Taco Bell. So I did. I got up to 192 pounds. And it was by far the heaviest I had ever been. And I was like a marshmallow. Now, granted, I got stronger.
Yes.
I got stronger and I put on muscle.
Yes.
Then I had to go through a massive cut. And I'm sure in that process, I lost, you know, I lost strength. I lost muscle because my cut wasn't the greatest cut either. And by the end of it, it's like it really was not worth it at all. Wasn't healthy for sure. And so it's just, there's a big difference in just going about it the right way. Even though, and a little bit of lack of knowledge on my end at that point, but also the laziness. In the end, laziness doesn't pay off. You're gonna get from point A to point B a lot quicker if you're not lazy, which is ironic, because you're being lazy because you're thinking that's going to get you what you want quicker, and it's not.
No, that's true in every area of life. So especially in bulking, if you're lazy, little transition, if you're lazy in your bulk, you make your cut way harder because a few factors might not fall into line. You might not have gotten as strong as you wanted in your bench press, your deadlift, your squat, and you put on more fat. So like literally the two things about bulking, you did the opposites. And so cutting, break it down. Some of the things, Dan, you had a great cut. You, very disgustingly shredded. Ben, anorexic. I mean, you guys did a cut, and I'm over here just like, I'm going to stay at 160. So go ahead, break this one down. Diet, exercise, and mindset with cutting. Because I know It was harder. I know it was harder.
It's harder. Okay, cutting. Diet. So, okay, ideally when you're bulking, because we didn't say this, ideally when you're bulking, it actually would be perfect and ideal if you track your calories and make sure you're just in like a 300 calorie surplus, not like a 800 calorie surplus. So that's part of the laziness thing. Like,
there's really quick, there's 3,500 calories in a pound, just so people know too. So that's when we're talking about the surplus and stuff. Once you've eaten 3,500 calories surplus, whether that takes you a week or a month or however long, that's a pop. And so that's good to be aware of.
Yeah, throw up the old macros there. Or just the simple one. Okay, so so for bodybuilding specifically, that we're not just talking about in general. So if you're trying to cut after you've just done a bulk, so you want to make sure you know your maintenance calories. There are a lot of different little like calculators you can use online for that. And then to start, usually you want to start your cut like 12 to 15 weeks before you want to be like at your like leanest. And I would suggest setting a date or something, just a goal to have, to look forward to continue like the motivation of cutting. So 12 to 15 weeks before whatever that date is, you know, a vacation, a reunion, a competition. So you want to start, you want to know your maintenance, and then when you start, you want to be literally probably just like 200 to 300 calories in a deficit, like a very minimal deficit. That way you're not going to really experience these like depleting effects of cutting until you're closer to the 12 to 15. So I would start 200 to 300 calories in a deficit. And then if you want to add on top of that, you can add in some cardio. Really important here to make sure you're keeping your protein up. Most people, you know, the classic thing to suggest is just do 1 gram of protein per pound of your body weight. So, you know, I'd be eating 165 grams of protein a day. And that's more than enough. So if you do that, you'll be safe.
Yeah. So I think I've heard like 0.7 or 0.75 or something's like the.
Exactly.
So they just round up to one.
Just kind right. of like, to be safe. And then
that's a lot of protein, by the way.
That is a lot. Yeah, I mean, most people, if you're not tracking, you don't realize how much protein you're actually not eating compared
to preach.
So that's diet. And then as you get closer, you know, if you really want to like tighten up, then I would take it down to a 500 calorie deficit closer to the date or the goal. So that's diet. Training, it's going to help your cause a lot if you're doing cardio consistently, healthy, health-wise, and it'll help your cutout. So I would try to do 20 minutes of cardio after every lift. Like, it's not that much.
Yeah.
You might see a lot if you just got off a bulk and your cardiovascular system is shot, but it'll be good for you. Training-wise, lifting-wise, a lot of people think like, okay, I'm cutting now, so I want to do high reps so I can like tone up. Like, okay, I need to be doing 15 to 20 reps instead of 6 to 12 so that I can like get tone. That's not the case. So yeah, don't believe that. So like, it's really important with your compounds while you're cutting to stay on the lower side of like 6 to 12 so that you can keep the strength that you've built up in your bulking. Because if you're not forcing your muscle to push that weight, your body's going to adapt and you're going to get a lot weaker because you're in a deficit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's, I mean, that's, those are the basics of diet and training.
Let me ask you one more thing.
Yeah, what's up?
What was your mindset like? Because all I remember was these insane walls and a big old bag of laxatives near the end. Now, this is like, this was the same week. Because, yeah, you left, and then we surprised you in Pittsburgh for your bodybuilding competition, and your body was, like, crazy shredded, every striation on every muscle belly ever. But the mindset, dude, you just – there were a couple of those moments where you were like, I don't have life inside of me. I just remember seeing that. Yeah. So what was the mindset like?
Literally, yeah, so cutting for the – cutting for my two competitions, specifically the second one, which was nationals, literally is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. The last like 2 weeks. Mm. Like your body is literally in starvation mode. You have no energy. Your brain isn't getting enough calories, so you can't think straight. All you think about is food and like calories. And just like, I used to literally like brush my teeth to like have flavor in my mouth.
Oh my gosh.
And then on top of that, so when you're cutting, if you're cutting really intensely, usually you're, if you're keeping your protein high, you're getting that protein, but you're eating less carbs and fat. And so usually like it kind of messes up your digestive system. And so for me, when I cut really intensely, I would get like super constipated. And so that, hence the bag of laxatives and gizmos. So it was horrible, bro. So mentally, I can't even really explain it. Like, it just, you just feel like crap all the time. That's not the hardest thing
ever. When you're cutting for a competition.
When you're cutting for a competition, yeah, bro. If you're just cutting for the summer, like, you'll be good.
That's a good point. That's a huge distinction because you were pushing your body to its absolute limits. I remember your coach said, hey, just so you know, if you do end up peeing blood, just know you're close to death and you should get water like immediately.
Literally. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's just intense.
There's a chance you pee blood, and if you do, you could die within the hour. But
Pittsburgh for that competition, 5-hour drive, he didn't say a word. We almost
Ben drove me to Pittsburgh for nationals, and I literally didn't say a word the entire project.
That's a good point.
We almost got in a car accident. I looked over and saw his face as we almost died, and his face was this.
I hope we got hit. I didn't care.
Okay, Ben, how was yours? Because yours wasn't as specific to a competition where you had to present on stage, but you still were doing an online competition where you had to present all the same angles, before and after videos. I mean, so, and then you showed up, you guys took a huge road trip to Texas, for it. So like, go ahead and tell people about that experience. Cause you looked ill.
Dicey. Yeah. So a couple things first too, before I talk about that, I was just going to say with the cutting, as far as the doing the high, you know, high reps, I want to tone type thing, there is truth to the fact that, yeah, you'll possibly burn more fat that way to where you're going to tone up. But what, to Dan's point, you also will lose muscle. That's the problem. So you have to keep the weight heavy, because you can tone up doing high rep. Like, that's not necessarily the problem. It's that your goal is, I don't want to lose muscle in this process. So you want to keep your weight heavy, because that's
also
on as you go.
I think that's a good point, because if you have less muscle mass, as we know, and we've said a couple times, you will burn less calories in your maintenance. And so if you were eating at a 200 caloric deficit, but then you lost a crap ton of muscle within your 3 weeks, 4 weeks, let's just say 4 weeks, you might not be at a deficit anymore if you haven't adjusted your calories.
Yeah, that's true too. You need to keep in mind, you have to adjust your calories as you lose or gain weight for both cutting and bulking. You have to constantly check, because once your calories change, your deficit changes. You're, you know, you may not be in a deficit anymore after you've
right.
So,
right.
Yeah. That's huge. Yeah. So my competition, I was very much in the mindset. I was the most motivated I think I've been in working out at that time. Like, I was just very, very motivated, very much determined that in my mind, I was like, I'm going to win. Even if I didn't actually, you know, there's 26,000 people in the competition. So I think, like, realistically, probably I didn't actually have like an expectation, but I was like, I'm going to win. Like, that's how my mindset was. And so I was giving it everything I had. I was doing, for cardio, I wasn't running. And that's another thing that I just wanted to mention too, is cardio doesn't have to be running. It can be high intensity interval training. It can be swimming. It can be, you know, it can be a variety of things, anything that's going to get your heart rate up to that point where you're burning. And so obviously you can probably talk about that in a different time, how to figure out the heart rate you need to be at, be in your ideal burning state. But I was doing Stairmasters. So I was burning, I think, about 500 calories on the Stairmaster. And I, diet-wise, was tracking everything. I was going super clean to the point where eating was, like, miserable. I was doing dry tuna fish. I was eating, like, 3 or 4 cans of dry tuna fish a day with just mustard in it. And I haven't eaten tuna fish since, and that was, like, 4 years ago.
So I didn't know that.
I really, like, hate it now, just the thought of it.
Even now,
yeah. Weightlifting-wise, I was doing what we're preaching right now. I was doing heavy lifting as I was cutting to maintain muscle. One thing where I messed up, and this is something I wanted to talk on too, because every body is different. And that's why you got to be careful also when you hear these guys, you know, here's what you got to do. Here's what, you know, do this exact diet. If they're not tailoring the diet to you based on your needs, based on your body, be careful, because I was basically doing what Dan did for his competition. And so he talked about how he cut the carbs way down, he cut the fat way down, high protein. I did that, and I lost a lot of muscle in the process. Like, I just flattened out, because
yes.
my body, I had to actually stay on. And so the way I found it out was I was talking to some other coaches, and they kind of figured it out, like talking to me, asking me what I was doing, how much, and they're like, try upping your carbs and see what happens. And so I did, and it was major difference. And so for me, I had to stay at almost, I think it was close to, it was like 180 grams of carbs a day still, as I'm getting towards the end of my competition, like cutting down. So every body is a little different with that.
Yeah,
but I was tracking everything to a T, very, very consistent. I lost 20 pounds in the 3 month span of the competition.
Nice.
I was definitely the most shredded I've ever been, and also got very, very, very thin. I mean, I was like disappearing, turning sideways. So it was not healthy for sure, but my mindset didn't quite get to where Dan got, because I wasn't going the extra mile with like the water and stuff like that. Like, I was drinking pretty much extra leading up to it. And then I just kind of cut down to just normal drinking. I didn't like cut water out at any point and stuff. I also with the diet that last 2 weeks, I didn't really change a whole lot. I kind of just kept doing what I was doing for the last 2 weeks. And so that last 2 weeks is usually where most bodybuilders are like just wanting to kill themselves, because
yeah,
they cut so much out and cut back on so, and they mess with the sodium and that's a lot of stuff. So I wasn't getting into a whole lot of that. And I think that really helped with the mindset thing. So
yeah, that's huge. And I definitely could tell, like, Dan was on the brink of like, all right, this is it. If I'm dying, it's tomorrow because I haven't drank any water today. Right. I had like 8 or 10 ounces or whatever. Whereas okay.
I'm driving 8 hours at a time. We're going to Texas and I'm like top of my life, like best moments ever.
Right, right. You were talking the whole time and Dan couldn't formulate a word.
I was like on cloud nine and I'm the day before. Now, granted, when we went to IHOP and ate, it was like heaven because I'm eating these red velvet pancakes and it's so amazing, but it was just different. Yeah, I didn't get to that point.
Yeah, and I'm glad because you getting to that point, different. It would be different, bro. It would. Well, okay, sweet. I'm glad I was able to finally get you guys on a call. I was actually really excited about this like for a while because you guys, I definitely are the two I know have some great experience with bulking and cutting. And as much as I want to say I've done a bulk and a cut, like I really haven't done any specific like change. I changed up my programming to where I'm at now? Yeah. I mean, I'll do strength programs, which look like a bulking program. But when you're bulking, again, that takes into consideration your body, physique, and composition, and you want to change that like aggressively. So you change all these factors, not just the program. So I really haven't. So you guys had a lot of good things to say and a lot of good things out of experience too, which have a good amount of weight apart from the science said this, so I did this and it worked. I mean, you have a great experience, both of you do. What were you going to say, Ben?
I was going to say one last little plug too. I'm cutting right now and I'm not at this point. I probably will track because I've got my wedding in 48 days. And yeah, so I'm not at this point. But leading up to it, so the reason I'm having to cut is I had a surgery back in December on my knee and I was like bedridden. And I put on quite a bit of weight because I just was like, yeah, whatever. It's winter. I'm just going to enjoy. And so, I'm an advocate for doing things in moderation. And if you're going to completely cut out things you enjoy, you know, that gets into the whole mindset thing. I don't think it's healthy. I think there needs to be moderation, body images and everything. Whole nother conversation. But that being said,
good point.
My stage of life, I'm not at a point where I'm able to be quite as like on top of everything serious, or at least I don't want to. I don't want to put in all that extra time and effort. So I'm not tracking as closely. I'm not as on top of it. And I know that's the most efficient way, but I am still cutting. It's just a lot slower because I'm just kind of more feeling my body out. I'm still paying close attention. I'm still stepping on the scale each morning, seeing where I'm at. Okay, I gotta, you know, get a little more serious. I gotta cut things back a little more. You know, I gotta cut out this, cut out that, do a little less on the weekend of the splurging and stuff. So you can still do a more moderate, slow cut, which might be more maintainable for some people as well, depending on stage of life.
Oh yeah.
So I just think that's important to know that it doesn't have to be this. I'm trying to get these crazy quick results necessarily. It can be like a lifestyle thing too, where it's just maintaining a more decent physique and stuff. So I think it's just important to know that as well, in case it's like overwhelming as well for some people with stage of life and stuff.
Oh, totally. I mean, at any stage, even at the convenient stages you guys were in to do a cut, it was still like, ah, man, everybody's hanging out and I can't eat that, or everyone's going here and I actually have to eat my sixth meal because I, you know, like, so both of them, like, this, they're always inconvenient. And we did talk about like the extremes. I'm like, you guys were in an extreme deficit mindset cutting phase, and you guys have been in some really aggressive bulking stages. Where I think, like, instead of that sharp, like, wave, I think it looks better when it's, like, that subtle wave, which is kind of what you guys are more adapted to now. And I'm kind of avoiding those little even subtle waves because I don't like to eat in a surplus.
It's basically what we just talked about is, like, this is the most efficient, quick route.
Yeah.
If you want to really get serious.
Yes. If
you just want to maintain and I still do those kinds of things once in a while. You know, it's like,
yeah,
all right, I'm going to get serious for 3 months and do, you know, something intense and get serious. But I think as long as you're maintaining a lifestyle, once you kind of get to that point, that's more important. But for the person, this is more also, you know, for the person who's like, I don't know what to do and I want to get some quick, you know, results. Like that's what we've just talked about, is that's going to be your quickest route. But then there's also more of a maintenance type lifestyle, realistic route as well. So
for sure. No, that's good to distinguish both of those too, because the last thing I want to ask is, what would be your biggest piece of advice to someone bulking or cutting or getting into bodybuilding in general? So you can just include like bulking and cutting. What's your biggest piece of advice? It can be a short little thing. You know, it can be an excerpt from some big old thing you wrote one time. But just what's your biggest piece of advice when you hear someone talking about, hey, I want to get into lifting, or I want to go into a cut, man. I just want to get shredded. Or some girl's like, yeah, I want to bulk up so I can, you know, be stronger. Like, what's your go-to zinger after all this that we talked about?
Biggest thing for bulking, progressive overload. And there's a lot that comes down from that, but progressive overload. So you're consistently tracking everything you're doing training-wise every week, because you're on a program. And every single week, you're doing the exact same thing, but just a little bit more. And that's how your body adapts. That's literally how your body was created, to adapt. So bulking, progressive overload. Cutting. Good question. I would say do it in a healthy manner. Try to, in a sense, get involved in something, like get on board the cardiovascular side of things, like less like, oh, I'm just going to do 20 minutes of the Stairmaster, but like actually try to like get in good functional cardiovascular shape, because then you don't even have to try to be burning a lot of calories every day. If you're training for like a half marathon or a 10K or a 5K and it's, you know, a couple weeks down the road, then you're going to have a consistent thing that you're training for that will help your cardiovascular system, but is also going to be burning calories consistently. And it's just a lot more enjoyable that way than doing it just like the classic, like 40 minutes on the Stairmaster every day.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That's huge. I think get something that's going to keep you on track. And so you mentioned 5K, 10K, half. Those are good. But even like that, man, I just want to do a float trip and I want to be able to do 10 miles. On a canoe, or like I want to do a triathlon, or I want to be able to ride 25 miles on my bike. I see what you're saying, because that have so it has so much more weight in it, like, and desirable weight. I don't want to do 20 minutes on a Stairmaster after a leg day. I do want to go and hit that bike though, because I want to be able to ride from here to here. Right. Yeah, that's good. I like that. How about you, Ben? What's your zingers?
I would say a huge thing that maybe could be overlooked is having another person of some sort to be a motivator and encourager, to make you a program. Because for us, I think we can easily take it for granted that we can all, you know, I can easily just go to Dustin and say, hey, could you make me a program? Which might seem strange to some people, being that like I'm a personal trainer, but even as trainers, it's very easy to just fall into a kind of a routine of, you know, going in and doing like a bro lift or whatever, not having a program that you're sticking to. And so having somebody else create you a program, whether that's for you having, if you have to hire a personal trainer, if you have to buy a program, it's worth it to do. If it's a friend that you can find or somebody else that lifts that you can have them create you some sort of program, like that's huge. And then same thing with just working out in general and the diet side too. It's helpful to just have other people around you that can motivate you, encourage you. You know, I think we have an awesome thing. We have a unique thing that we could easily take for granted. Not everybody's going to have that. For that person, I would say a trainer for sure. I've wanted at times to hire a trainer, but then it's like, I've got friends that are trainers already. And so it's kind of nice for us because we can go to each other and get a program real quick or ask advice or whatever it is. And we always have that. But for someone else, it's like, if you have someone else that you trust that's knowledgeable, that can help you, that's huge. If not, I would just recommend finding a program, finding a trainer, and then also keep close track for yourself on how your body's reacting. Keep close track, you know, record everything, really pay attention, because any trainer, and I tell my clients this all the time, I'm writing you something, I'm creating you something, and it's kind of a starting point. I'm going to see then this is like my best thing for the, you know, the details you've given me. And then we're going to see how you do with it. And we're going to have to tweak it. We're going to have to mold it. So no first program you ever get or make is probably going to be spot on. And so just pay attention also to how your body's doing then. And you can make those adjustments and try new things. But having other people it's huge.
Sweet. Yeah, that is something I've definitely taken for granted in the sense of keeping me on track. Honestly, now I don't really like to lift with people. So I really like to do my own thing, kind of go solo. But I love telling and reporting back and like saying, hey, I tried this, it didn't work. And like, you know, our Snapchat thing, it works pretty well because it just, those little glimpses of, oh, you're staying consistent, it kind of like motivates me a little bit, sometimes a lot. What's up?
Just telling each other, you know, I just did this today, I did this, you know, we still do that. And I think that's huge. So
it's huge. CrossFit is huge because of the community. Running groups are huge because of the community. Bodybuilding is so individualistic. So you really do need that lifting partner, that trainer, that, yeah, I definitely am on board with that. Okay, sweet. Well, again, thank you, bros, for jumping on.